KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly cloudy sky at 68 degrees. We look for it to be partly cloudy today, a little warmer, high around 83. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with a check of the news. Officials say no injuries were reported following a house fire early this morning in Shelby. According to a social media post by Minden Fire and Rescue, their crews were dispatched at around 4:30 a.m. to assist the Shelby and Avoca Fire and Rescue departments. No other details are currently available. The body of a Watson, Missouri man was recovered from the Nishnabotna River Wednesday morning, almost 2 days after he was reported missing. Captain Brian Smith of the Iowa Department of Natural Resources said family members discovered the body of 77-year-old Thomas Gibson near the Goldenrod boat access at around 9:15 a.m.
It was discovered on the same side as the boat ramp. So it would have been on the east side of the river, approximately 400 to 500 yards downstream.
Smith says a strong team of local agencies and residents assisted in the search and supporting family members.
And the family specifically received a lot of local support from various businesses, providing food, water, Gatorade, just a few things that I saw. And they had just a ton of food donated, a ton of food and drink, because the family was present throughout the entire scenario and recovery efforts.
Smith reiterates the importance of wearing life jackets while boating.
You know, almost 30 years of working for the Department of Natural Resources and being around water and doing these recoveries and rescue efforts, I can't encourage people strongly enough, again, to wear their life jacket, their personal flotation device. Anytime they're in or around the water, it can't save your life. It can't help you if you're not wearing it and don't have it on.
The state medical examiner will conduct an autopsy on the body. An official at the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers says a study is needed to consider changes to flood control measures along the Missouri River south of Sioux City, Iowa. Speaking after a U.S. Senate field hearing Wednesday in North Sioux City, South Dakota, Brigadier General Peter Hellinger noted that such a study could call for actions such as changing the Missouri River channel in the Sioux City area to let the river spread out and carry more water. The Sioux City Journal reports that levees could also be rebuilt farther from the river to give the waterway more room. Hemlinger, commander of the Corps' Northwest Division, said such a study would take 3 years and be delivered to Congress. He spoke after answering questions at a hearing headed by Senator Mike Rounds of South Dakota. The Taylor County Sheriff's Office reports 39-year-old Joseph Wallace of Bedford was arrested Wednesday following a traffic stop in Bedford. Wallace was charged with driving while barred, an aggravated misdemeanor and possession of a controlled substance, third or subsequent offense, which is a Class D felony. He was being held in the Taylor County Jail on a $7,000 cash bond. The Creston Police Department reports 68-year-old Rosalie Jackson of Creston was arrested at the Creston Walmart Wednesday afternoon. She was taken into custody on a fifth-degree theft charge, cited, and then released from the scene on a promise to appear in court. The Greenfield Police Department yesterday said a four-wheel ATV was stolen over the weekend from the True Value store in Greenfield. That occurred sometime late Friday night or early Saturday morning. The red ATV was described as being an off-brand and as missing the taillight cover. A picture of the ATV can be seen in the story on the news page at KJAN.com. If you see that ATV, you're asked to contact the Greenfield Police Department at 641-743-2323. Lawyers for the state of Iowa and Nebraska, as well as the city of Council Bluffs, have filed an appeal to try and shut down the Native American casino in Carter Lake. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
The Ponca tribe opened the Prairie Rose Casino late last year after getting approval from the National Indian Gaming Commission. In mid-August, a federal judge said she would not overturn the commission's decision. Iowa, Nebraska, and Council Bluffs are now appealing to a federal circuit court in St. Louis. The legal dispute over the casino project has been going on for more than a decade. The Prairie Rose Casino is about 5 miles from the three state-licensed casinos in Council Bluffs and about 2 miles from downtown Omaha. I'm O.K. Henderson.
Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, the Union County Sheriff's Office reports 36-year-old Luke Allen Mullen of Carbon was arrested around 9:30 a.m. Tuesday on two Union County warrants for failure to appear. Mullen was being held in the Union County Jail on a $1,300 bond. And a woman from Lorimore reported Tuesday night that sometime that afternoon, someone entered her car while it was parked at her residence. A radio and CD player and pair of girls' Nike black shoes were taken from the vehicle. The loss was estimated at $175. The Mills County Sheriff's Office has issued a report detailing numerous arrests. Among them on Tuesday, 32-year-old Danielle Jean Frazier of Glenwood was arrested at the Mills County Sheriff's Office on a warrant for domestic abuse, assault, and false reports to a public entity. 18-year-old Mariah Marie Pearson of Council Bluffs was arrested Tuesday at the Pott County Jail on a Mills County warrant for probation violation. And 29-year-old Austin David Lundy of Glenwood was arrested at the Douglas County, Nebraska Jail, also on a warrant for violation of probation. On Monday, 41-year-old James Allen Stanley of Council Bluffs was arrested at the Mills County Jail on an assault charge. 34-year-old Kenneth Ray Jewett of Omaha was arrested at the Pott County Jail Monday for OWI first offense. On Sunday, Mills County deputies arrested 27-year-old Aaron Elaine Parsley of Sioux City, Iowa for driving while revoked and on a Woodbury County warrant for OWI first offense and assault. 48-year-old Eric John Nieder of Lincoln, Nebraska was arrested Sunday for possession of a controlled substance, possession of drug paraphernalia, fraudulent use of registration, operating a non-registered vehicle, failure to provide proof of insurance, and for having no valid driver's license. Also arrested this past Sunday was 29-year-old Nicholas James Bonacci of Omaha. He was taken into custody on two counts of possession of a controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia. 37-year-old Kathy Kayleen Zimmerman of Carter Lake was arrested at the same scene for possession of a controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia. And 24-year-old Harold Arthur Hart of Shenandoah was arrested Sunday on a warrant for theft in the fifth degree. One person was killed, another injured when two cars collided on Highway 30 near Ames last night. A westbound 2018 Chevrolet Equinox driven by 83-year-old Nancy Dean of Boone was slowing down to a near stop in the traveled lane for reasons unknown. Another westbound vehicle, a 2018 Nissan Rogue driven by 22-year-old Taylor McIntyre of Boone, was unable to avoid striking the Dean vehicle. The McIntyre vehicle came to a stop in the north ditch following the collision while the Dean vehicle landed into the median of the highway. Dean was transported to Mary Greeley Medical Center where she died from her injuries. McIntyre was also transported to that hospital for treatment of minor injuries. The accident remains under investigation. A northwestern Iowa man has been charged with vehicular homicide and drunken driving in a crash last month that killed his cousin. The Sioux City Journal says 37-year-old Derek Toll of Lamars was arrested late Tuesday on the charges. He's being held on a $50,000 bond. Investigators say Toll was driving about 90 miles per hour the night of July 1st when he lost control of his car, left the road, and the vehicle rolled and hit a tree. His passenger, 37-year-old Ryan Toll of Struble, was critically injured and died 2 days later. Police say Derek Toll was also injured in a blood test taken at a hospital more than an hour after the crash showed his blood alcohol content was 0.111, more than the 0.08 legal limit to drive. The Iowa Insurance Division's Fraud Bureau reports 25-year-old Nathan Tunn of Storm Lake has been charged with one count of fraudulent submissions, a Class D felony, one count of theft in the first degree, a Class C felony, and one count of conspiracy to commit a non-forcible felony, which is a Class D offense. The charges are the result of an investigation by the Iowa Insurance Division's Fraud Bureau and the Storm Lake Police Department, which began in June of this year. In criminal complaints filed by the Iowa Insurance Division's Fraud Bureau, it's alleged that Tunn conspired with two co-defendants to arrange for the purported theft of Tunn's vehicle. As a result, Tunn submitted a fraudulent insurance claim to his insurance carrier, seeking insurance proceeds for which he was not entitled. On August 23rd, Tunn was arrested in Storm Lake and booked into the Buena Vista County Jail. He was later released after posting a $5,000 bond. Trial will be set at a future date. And Iowans with information about insurance fraud are encouraged to contact the Iowa Insurance Division's Fraud Bureau. That number is 515-242-5304. Former Governor Terry Branstad championed statewide standards that overrode local attempts to restrict where livestock confinements may be built, but his successor said that she will not propose statewide standards for placement of wind turbines. The Madison County Board of Supervisors will hold a September 10th public hearing about a countywide moratorium on the construction of wind turbines.
This is a local decision, so that's exactly what they should be doing.
Governor Kim Reynolds says permits for wind turbine towers are issued by local and not state officials.
This is something that local governments will be deciding. They're the ones that grant them and can make the decision not to.
The Madison County Board of Health claims wind turbines can cause nausea and headaches for people who live in nearby homes. Wind industry officials say there are no significant or scientific studies that make those conclusions. Reynolds says Madison County officials have the authority to follow through on rules barring wind turbines from within a mile and a half of a residence.
Right now, the way that it's set up, it's a local decision. So that's the current procedures that they're at statute that they're operating under.
After five Iowa counties passed local ordinances raising the minimum wage locally, Governor Branstad signed a law that overrode those local decisions. Branstad also had touted statewide curriculum standards for Iowa's public schools. That is a check of our news here on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.